As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So,
come on in and welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, where you'll find and meet the most interesting people in the Ville. And this week, of course, we have two great guests. First, we're going to have Pat Forty, a national sports writer many people know about. From Louisville, know that he left the Courier-Journal and now is a national writer for Yahoo Sports. He caught up with Pat in the media tent at the PGA Championship at Valhalla early this week and sat down and talked to him about some about what it's like to live in Louisville and cover these national sporting events. And fortunately, he's working from home this week. Pat usually has to travel to cover these big events. But this week, he's at home, and he has some thoughts about the upcoming football season. I was happy to get into. So stick around for that. And my second guest is Stacy Yates, who you may know if you've been around Louisville a while. She works for the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau and is really an out. She's just a fun person to be around. I see her everywhere I go, it seems like, all these big events. And they're out there at the PGA, the Tourism Bureau, specifically the Urban Bourbon Trail. And I'll have Stacy explain some of that to you coming up later in the show. I do want to tell you, I'll talk a little bit later in the show about the PGA. And I've been out there this week. I had three practice days. And it really takes some. There's a lot of people, especially Wednesday. The practice days, it's tough. They're not keeping score. It's just you're just out there to see the players, these guys who are so good. And I wrote a story about this on LouisvilleKY.com. They hardly ever miss. They're very relaxed in practice, and it's a very laid back atmosphere. The crowds weren't that big until. I was talking to Kent Spencer of WHAS TV, and he said, business is picking up around here. And that was right after it was announced on Wednesday that Tiger Woods, whose status was uncertain after an injury last week in Akron, Ohio, Tiger Woods would be making an appearance, and he was going to play a practice round at 2:00 on Wednesday at Valhalla. And the crowds... In fact, the media is so anxious for news about Tiger that a bunch of them, camera crews, were camping out in the entrance where they knew Tiger had to come to get in so that they could get video footage of him parking his car and walking into the clubhouse. And the temperature of the place just went up when Tiger arrived. I was fortunate enough. I got to get fairly close while Tiger was on the practice range, hitting balls. And the crowd around that, I'll publish some pictures on LouisvilleKY.com. It's just amazing, the crowd, the people that were there to just try to get a glimpse, just to get a glimpse of Tiger. His star power is so much higher than the rest of the players. Not to take anything away from the rest of the players, but, you know, honestly, most people that go out to see the PGA, they hear it's a cool thing to do, and they go out there, they don't know the players. And honestly, outside of the top 20 or so golfers, I don't know what they look like. And you spend a lot of time guessing who they are and all that. So, but anyway, it's a big event, and I hope you get a chance to go out this week. It's an interesting experience watching professional golfers do their thing. It's a lot of fun. So, fortunately, I've been out there and getting to check out what's going on. Got to meet up. I guess the highlight for me was attending a press conference with Kenny Perry. Kenny, believe it or not, is the same age as me. His birthday is Sunday. Mine is later this month. We're both graduates of Western Kentucky University, class of 82. And unfortunately, I don't remember Kenny when I was there. Of course, I don't imagine he was hanging out much at the Pike House drinking beer. I don't know what he was like as a college student, but he's certainly done well since he left Western. He's got a string of championships in professional golf. He's played professional golf for 30 years. His press conference, he talked about a wide-ranging number of subjects related to his life in the last 30 years, and he's just done really well. He's got a great attitude about it, and I'd love to see him at least make the cut and be competitive this weekend. There's a lot of players, I guess, that I'm sort of pulling for, and you know, this is what you do in golf. You sort of pull for certain players. I'd certainly like to see Rory McIlroy. He seems like the next star on the horizon in golf. I like I like both Bubba Watson and Phil Mickelson because they're left-handed, and you know, I'm left-handed, so there are just a lot of different reasons to like different players. And you know, if you go out there, you can get up close and follow the players that you are interested in. But the crowds are going to be big this weekend. They've sold the most tournaments. You learned last week on the Rusty Satellite interview with Larry Sinclair, director of sales out there at the championships. Anyway, it's a big deal. But I'm going to go ahead and get started with Pat Forty. He really knows a lot about the golf tour, and he knows a lot about football, and those are the primary subjects we talked about. So here's my interview with Pat Forty.
Hi, this is John Wirth of the Louisville Beer Podcast. Each Tuesday, John King, Scott Likens, and I bring you up to speed on the craft beer scene here in Louisville. We interview minor local celebrities, give you the scoop on upcoming events, and enjoy some finely crafted beers while we're at it. Find us online at LouisvilleBeer.com and catch the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Louisville.am.
And today I'm at the PGA Media Headquarters with Pat Forty, a sports writer of some renown. Pat, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Glad to be on with you.
It's, it's the start of a big week here. What kind of routine do you go through in terms of trying to cover the PGA?
Well, I mean, it really helps to have it be a home game, you know, where I can
exactly.
Stay at home, and I don't live very far from Valhalla, so this is pretty easy, because a lot of times at big events, the logistics of getting in and out is one of the hardest things. So this time, that's taken care of. But then, you know, the next couple of days, I'll just try to get out, walk the course, look at it, see what's been changed, what's been upgraded, you know, what's new about Valhalla since the last time we saw, which for most people was the Ryder Cup in 2008.
Right.
And then, you know, there'll be a lot of interviews in the tents. You know, you hear hopefully from Tiger Woods and a bunch of other top professionals, and write a couple of stories in advance, and then we get going in earnest Thursday morning.
Okay. And just for our audience that doesn't know, where can we find your stuff?
Yahoo Sports.
Yahoo Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess I'm just curious about covering a big event like this with all these other media people around. I mean, I guess you're still looking for sort of a scoop, but are you looking for something unique, something that is going to make people say, I got to go read what Forty wrote about this?
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. You know, you're looking for whatever will differentiate your work from someone else's, and it's nice to be able to write pretty paragraphs, but information is king, and if you're getting information that other people don't have, that can really help. You know, I did the British Open last year, and Tiger Woods and his former caddy, who's now with Adam Scott, they were in the final pairing in the final round together, and afterwards they kind of had a bit of a detente. They had had a very contentious relationship. And I got the caddy, myself and one other guy, I think we were the only two guys that talked to the caddy, and he gave us some quotes, he talked about it a little bit, and then we got Tiger's current caddy. You can get Tiger to talk about it, but that was something different, something that nobody else had. So you keep your eyes and ears open and try to soak up as much as you can.
Sure. I know it's hard to stand out with this many other media around, but let's talk about the golf this week a little bit. You know, the top 100 golfers coming in. You got a favorite? What do you see rolling out in terms of who's going to be hot?
Yeah, well, I mean, it should be a really competitive tournament, as you said. I mean, pretty much all the best golfers are here. You know, I kind of like Ricky Fowler, who's a young guy who has played extremely well. He's been in the top five in all three majors so far this year. I think he's ready to break through and win one. But Rory McIlroy, who dominated the British Open, has played well this week at Akron as well. He's going to be in here. Sergio Garcia has played extremely well up there in Akron. He's had a mental block when it gets to majors, but still, he's got the talent to win one.
Sure.
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of different people in contention, but if you ask me to pick one, I'll say Ricky Fowler.
Okay, there you go. Well, just shifting gears here a minute, a lot of people know you from way back, I guess way back for us now. It's the Courier Journal when you covered U of L and did a lot of that. Give me a little bit of an idea of your career path and how you've managed to be a national sports writer and stay right here in Louisville.
Yeah, it's been great that I haven't had to move. But yeah, I worked 17 years at the Courier and then 7 at ESPN and now 2.5 for Yahoo. And I've loved every job I had, but this one's definitely the best one I've ever had right now. It's a great job. I'm pretty much doing what I did at ESPN in terms of covering national college football, college basketball, throwing the Olympics, obviously horse racing given living here. And then you get to do events like this, a little bit of golf, major golf. So it's a great job.
Yeah, it seems like the greatest thing in the world. You get to, it seems like you get to pick and choose where you cover. You get a little direction, but I'm sure you say, you know, I think it's important to be at this football game this week, right?
Yeah, and I get a lot of autonomy as far as choosing my where I'm going week to week during the football and basketball seasons.
Okay, well, let's ask a local question about football. Louisville in the ACC. Where do you see that? How do you see that working out for you?
I think it's great for them. I mean, it is, you know, if you go back to when I first moved here, I don't think anybody could have ever dreamed of Louisville ending up in this position. But I think they're ready for it. Certainly, athletically, they could step in and compete right away. You know, I could see them being the third best team in football. I could see them competing to be the very best team possibly in basketball. It'll be them, Duke, and Syracuse, North Carolina, up there at the top in that. But the remake they have done in terms of broadening their athletic program beyond basketball is incredible, and that's what made them so attractive to the ACC.
Yeah, and I'm sure you go back a long way. Let's just talk about this football season coming up. You go back a long way with Petrino and his history and his past. Most people think, well, he's still going to be able to win. And you see that this year? What kind of record do you think they can
You know, in terms of X's and O's, he's a brilliant coach. Can you trust him? We'll see. I don't know. But he has been, you know, an innovator, an industry leader, an incredible developer of quarterbacks and skill position players. And I think that he steps right in, and I think they win at least 8 games, if not 9, his first season.
Yeah. So it's great for you, I guess. I'm sure there's at least a couple of Louisville home games on your schedule where you get to stay home, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the first game is a Monday night against Miami. I can definitely cover that one. No conflicts there in terms of any other games going on. And then the Thursday night against Florida State, I would presume I will be at that as well, and then we'll see whether there's any other opportunities.
Yeah. Well, just in trying to think about your job, you must – exactly how much do you travel?
During football season, almost every weekend. You know, if there's 15 weekends, probably 13 of them. So, okay. You know, you leave on a Friday, you get back on a Sunday. It's, you know, it's, it gets to wear on you a little bit, but it's generally fun travel. I mean, yeah. you're going to exciting events. It's work. It's definitely work. But, you know, I'm not complaining. And then basketball, you don't have to travel as much because there's so much good basketball here. You know? I mean, you can wait for teams to come to the Yum Center, come to Rupp Arena or Assembly Hall and catch a lot of good basketball in those places. So it's a little bit easier in basketball.
Yeah. Well, talking a little bit about journalism, I mean, you were one of the first to make the switch from a newspaper to an online career, which no one thought existed maybe 10 years ago. How's that transition been for you? And I mean, it seems like every day we read more bad stuff about the print product. I guess you feel fortunate that journalism's turned this way, right?
Well, yeah, I feel very fortunate. You know, I mean, I was lucky to be in the right place at the right time as far as ESPN. You know, they asked me to start freelancing for them in like 1996. It was ESPN Sports Zone. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know how to log onto a computer, I don't think, in 1996. You know, and that kind of just built the relationship and then got a full-time job with them in 2004. But, it's a radically different industry now. It's very, very different. And I feel bad for people in newspapers and for the state of newspapers in general. I am still a newspaper fan. I still kind of think of myself as a newspaper writer. You know, I don't think I write very much differently. But there's no doubt that online has totally taken over, and I don't think that trend is changing anytime soon.
No, it's really not. I remember what news it was when newspaper reporters first started going over. It was like, is he crazy? You know, nobody reads that stuff and all that. And now, you know, but I think what's alike about it, I mean, it used to be, I think, newspaper guys, the top sports columnist in every city, sort of went around to all the big events and all that. And now, I guess, would you say there's more media at these big events like the PGA?
Well, there's certainly fewer of the national newspaper columnists. Sure. You know, I haven't gone through the media room here and looked yet, but I guarantee, you know, that there's far fewer papers here than there were in 2000, the last time the PGA was here, and I'm sure fewer than in 2008 for the Ryder Cup as well. Now, is their place being taken by other people? Yeah. I mean, if you look here, .com, 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 and golfweek.com, I mean, there's plenty of
I'd say it seems to me there's more.
Yeah, there might
people
be.
People who may be calling them journalists or calling themselves journalists or at least doing this work.
Working for niche outlets.
In fact, I'm here, you know, in that mm-hmm. way. So I guess it's more. Does it make it, we're about done here, but does it make it any difference in how you go about getting stories? You know, you figure out who you want to interview, and you go after them, and you hope there's a good story there. Is it different now than it was?
It's a little bit different. You know, I mean, in general, I think the rules of reporting are a little bit more lax. You see a lot more anonymous sourcing, which can be dangerous. We try to be very careful about that at Yahoo. We're a really good investigative journalism outfit, and so we take that role very seriously. I mean, we will use anonymous sources, but we're careful with them, and we are sure that they are good sources. So that part of it's changed. There's so much more immediacy to things. Now, a scoop may be something that you have and can put on Twitter for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It used to be, if you had it in Sunday morning's paper, nobody else could get to it till Monday. You know, but now, exactly. A scoop is such an ephemeral thing. You know, it's really hard to have exclusive news.
And it's hard to remember who had it first, because whoever had it first,
everybody else had it very soon.
20 minutes. And last question about the PGA coverage. I mean, you're not doing hole by hole anything, but I mean, are you pretty much free to walk around and find the story?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, you know, obviously what the big stories are. Everybody wants to see Tiger and how he looks and, you know, the way he played here in 2000 and how much has changed since then.
Right.
And he's in the big group with Phil Mickelson Thursday, Friday. And then you have the other group of the guys that have won the majors this year, Bubba Watson, Martin Keimer, and Rory McIlroy. Everybody's going to want to see them. J.B. Holmes, the local guy, you know, from Kentucky, who's had a comeback from major health issues. He's a great story. Kenny Perry, of course. You know, there'll be plenty to cover here. And then the trick is, are you in the right place at the right time, or are you following the wrong group when something crazy is happening somewhere else?
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was gonna do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And it was great to see Pat Forty at the PGA Championship media tent. It's a really nice facility there. I tell you, the media coming in are from all over the world, and it's really a great opportunity for Louisville to show off. And you know, they take care of the media over there. They take care of there's you know, a lot of people don't know this. There's food and there's drink, there's you know, there's a lot of creature comforts for the media. We get to park in a lot, you know, there's no shuttle if you get a media parking pass, and it's all good. So anyway, this is thanks to Pat Forty again, but this is the part of the show where I talk about things going on in Louisville. There are other things besides the PGA that we'd like to talk about, and the biggest story, I guess, in media circles around here involves Leo Weekly. And you know, I have had both Aaron Yarmuth, the new publisher and now editor-in-chief, I guess, of Leo on the show, and also have had Sarah Havens, who is now the former managing editor of the paper. And if you haven't heard the story, basically here's what happened last week. You know, Yarmuth announced a couple months ago that he was in a negotiation to buy the newspaper from Southcom, the Nashville company that's owned it for the last several years. And everybody around here seemed to be very happy about that. And In Focus was also included, the sort of celebrity, not really celebrity, but, you know, sort of a guide, a society guide, I guess. It's a four-color magazine, goes around taking pictures of charity events and things like that. But as it come out, what came out last week, the deal was a long time getting finalized, and was finalized late Friday. And a series of events that happened since then have included that, number one, In Focus is not part of the deal any longer. Number two, four of, I believe, the eight-person staff were immediately were told they were no longer had a job, including Sarah. Feel for Sarah Havens. She was celebrating her 15th year anniversary at the paper on the exact day that this happened, and she was let go along with a writer, April Corbin, and two other personnel at Leo. And then there was some question. There was another story on Monday about the only two existing writers left, Joe Sonka and Peter Berkowitz. Their contracts were may or may not be renewed. I really don't know where it stands at this point on Wednesday afternoon. But of course, today was the day the new paper came out, and it was the first under this new regime with Aaron Yarmuth. And surprisingly, what's creating a lot of controversy and frankly some negative feedback for Yarmuth is that the cover, I guess I would describe it as some really amateurish art. And it's a story about Tiger Woods by, if any of you longtime Louisvillians remember this name, John Ziegler. And John Ziegler is a former WHS radio personality who, I really don't have time to go into his background, but he's been known as a conservative sort of pundit and since he's left Louisville. And apparently he's friends with Yarmuth. And they use this cover about Tiger Woods. It replaces a scheduled cover about the West End, a real news item, I guess. So Aaron since tried to explain why the people were let go and all that. And he has even gone so far on Facebook to invite people to make bad jokes about Leo in the new cover. So it's really not a what I would call a great start for Yarmouth's tenure. And, you know, his father, the Congressman John Yarmouth, started Leo back in 1990, I believe it was. And so a lot of people are talking about this event. I tell you, I think that certainly Aaron has the right to make changes. I don't think the paper has been making money. And so you have to make changes. Now, you know, making the first thing you do cutting staff is, you know, certainly we're all going to question that, but he certainly has the right to do it, and he has the right to run the thing like a business. You know, you might have read the Courier Journal. The Gannett made a big move this week. They split their company. The big Gannett company owns TV stations, websites, and newspapers, and they split the newspapers off into a division, and kept the television stations as a separate corporate entity. Now, I haven't read into the whole thing on this, but it certainly sounds like something that would, you know, the newspapers are never going to make money. It's just not. And they're sort of hanging on. I don't see how, as long as they've got a big old building down there at 6 and Broadway, they're ever going to, like, pay for that and pay for the newspaper and get enough advertisers. So it's going to be it's really changing in the media, as you just heard with Pat Forty. We talked about the way things change, you know. So anyway, there's a lot going on in media this week, and that's the first part of our show. But you know, I've told you in past shows about my technology fetish. I guess I've really been getting into a lot of different avenues in terms of technology. Especially since I moved into my home first part of July, I moved into a new home here in Jeffersontown, and so I tried something that I learned with Rusty Satellite guest Taylor Trusty told me in a talk about this thing called Airbnb. And if you haven't heard of it, Airbnb is one of these. It's a internet startup, and what it does, it provides people with a opportunity to, if you're traveling and you don't want to stay in a hotel, you can stay in somebody's house. Okay, seems like a good idea. If you have a home that you could be out of, or even if you have just an extra room in your home and you'd like to rent it out, you can do that. You go in and basically put your place up on Airbnb, and people who are coming to Louisville, they get a little map with dots on it, and one of the dots is your place, and they pick it out. So anyway, last week I got my house up on Airbnb. We cut the grass, we did some fixing up, and it looks great. And, you know, so if you go to LouisvilleKY.com, or Airbnb, you can see my place. You can, fill out the form, and you can rent it for a night, a week, however you want. I got a place to go if you do that. And, I'm anxious to see how this works. It's a little experiment I'm doing. So if you got friends coming in from out of town or anything like that, don't want to stay in a hotel, hey, they can come over to Rick's place. How about that? So, anyway, that's one thing I was involved in this week, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. So, another thing I got to do this week, with all these media in town from all over the world, the folks down at the Slugger Museum, you may not know this, but they have a glove company, the Bionic. They make a glove called a Bionic glove. And they hosted a reception for all these writers to show off their new, they've got an updated version of their golf glove. And it's pretty cool. And they had a big party down there at the museum on, I guess it was Tuesday night. And a lot of out-of-town media were there. I met a reporter from Japan. And you know, the folks at Slugger really did things up right. They had a golf pro on hand, and he showed me some things on my swing. You know, you could do that. And just a nice little spread, a great event. The Bionic glove is, you know, it's a superior product. I hope they will do the marketing necessary to make that a big deal. You know, it's very difficult to break into the into the golf business, so to speak. You know, Hillerick and Bradsby has a Powerbilt brand, and I had some Powerbilt clubs for a long time, but it's just been very difficult for the company to compete. If you look back an old Rusty Satellite show, you can hear my conversation about this with Rick Redman, my supposed media twin, who was down there the other night, and really enjoyed spending some time with him. So, and one last story I wanted to address just came out in the Courier Journal. I saw this story about the biking, and biking seems to be having something that is creating controversy all over town now. Now, the Big Four Bridge, apparently there's been some cyclists that have been rude to pedestrians. So there's a little cyclist pedestrian battle going on at the Big Four Bridge, and the Waterfront Development Corporation, which runs the bridge, has removed markings for that designate certain area, the middle of the bridge, for cyclists, and it seems like a big battle. I'm not sure why. Certainly, I haven't ridden my bike across the bridge yet. I've walked across it a couple times. Certainly, you can't really go fast on your bike. There's too many people walking along, and it's not designated. You know, people don't know to stay out of the center and leave it alone for bikes. And apparently the cyclists probably were, you know, I would say they're probably yelling at the pedestrians to get out of the way. And hence, there's been a little controversy there. I don't know that, you know, the other controversy about bikes is with bike lanes, and some people, and certainly in the Metro Council, have suggested that we put too much emphasis as a city on bike lanes and spending money on that, when certainly there's a lot of other things you can spend money on. But credit to Mayor Fisher for being a big advocate for cyclists. Certainly that's where I am. So I certainly hope that the cyclists went out, both on the Big Four Bridge. I'd hate to see the worst case scenario is that they create a rule where you have to walk your bike across the bridge, which would sort of ruin the whole idea of having the bridge, you know, of having the opportunity to ride over to Indiana on your bike. So anyway, we'll be following that story as things heat up around here. But right now I'm going to introduce my next guest. It is Stacy Yates, who is a longtime Louisvillian, probably one of the best cheerleaders for the city that we have. She is involved in a whole lot of things, as I think her title is to do with communications at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. She's certainly been probably the leading advocate of the Urban Bourbon Trail, and they had a thing set up out at the media tent at the PGA Championship to sort of promote the Urban Bourbon Trail. They were giving out bourbon-flavored chapstick, which was really cool, and a few other little goodies to the media. And Stacy was telling me how really successful the campaign to promote bourbon has been for our city. So I talked to her about the some of the changes being made downtown, the plan to create a larger convention center downtown, and those are all the things that, you know, if you want to know, you know, sort of why the city and why the powers that be are pushing for these more hotel rooms and bigger downtown convention center, those are the kind of things that I asked Stacy in our interview held out at Valhalla. So here's my interview with Stacy Yates.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
Ha 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 ha.
today, the Rusty Satellite Show's at the PGA Championships, and what did I do? I ran into Stacy Yates. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Now, great day to be in Louisville, isn't it?
It really is. It's kind of hot out there. The things really picked up. I was out there when Tiger Woods showed up.
You can just hear the crowd when he arrived, can you? I thought there was maybe crawlers on every station in Louisville.
I know. It's like a, I don't know what to compare it to, but it totally, business picked up, I would say.
Yeah, it does. You know, it adds a level of excitement, I think, having him here.
So tell me why you are here at the PGA Championship.
Well, we are working with the PGA. You know, this is the sixth time they've had an event in Louisville, and they tell us that one of the reasons they keep coming back, in addition to our community being so supportive, is the hospitality. In Louisville. So we take a lot of pride in that. We have over 100 volunteers associated with tourism out here helping, mainly staffing an information booth at the front gates. But we also have some people in the media dining tent trying to help the media just be comfortable in the city, make dining reservations if they want to see other attractions while they're in town, cover other Louisville stores.
We really kind of coddle the media around here.
We really do. Yeah. We've got bourbon flavored chapstick, flash drives for them.
Oh, I'm going to pick up some of that before I go. All right, so you're, for the people who don't know, you work for the...
the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Yeah, I call it tourism for the city.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about how you got there and what your
background
is.
It'll be 9 years this fall that I left a 14-year stint heading up the press office at the Kentucky Derby Festival. Wasn't looking to leave that. Grew up there, loved it, and this opportunity came, and I thought, you know what? I could go from helping promote one, arguably the largest event in the city, to being a part of everything that goes on. And I kind of look at my job as head cheerleader for the city, trying to get the word out about what a wonderful place Louisville is to live, work, and especially visit. Because in tourism, we are truly about economic development through visitation.
Okay, so this is obviously a big event, but everybody must... you know, give you grief about, you know, it seems like you always show up at the great events and always having fun.
Right. So glamorous, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I don't know about the, what did you say the hours were out here?
We have people staffing our table and media dining from 6:45 in the morning till 8 p.m. So what that means for someone is probably getting up at 4:30 so they can go downtown and catch the media shuttle to get out here and be at their shift. Bright and early.
Oh, well, you don't have the fancy media parking.
Right. No, we don't.
Golly. Now, you've done... let's talk about some of the things you've done. I know that I used to catch you on video. You used to do a little show, and maybe you still do.
We do. We still do Looking at Louisville. It is a monthly podcast series where we try to showcase the best of Louisville, whether it be an attraction or an event or even just a whole neighborhood. And we always have a dining segment, and it's meant to spur visitors to come to Louisville, help them plan their trip when they're here, but it's also for locals too. I think a lot of locals don't know sometimes, and this can be in any city, you often don't know unless you have visiting friends and family what's in your own backyard.
Right. And help me out here. I was at an event the other day that Karen Williams was speaking at, and I guess they were just talking about general you know, issues in tourism. And, I mean, what are you all really pushing for, if anything?
We've got a couple hot buttons on an annual basis. Right now, probably the most significant thing that we've been working on is the renovation of the downtown convention center. And a lot of folks that may not be familiar with that project or tourism in general may scratch their heads. Well, you know, what's wrong with the one we have? It's great. I go to events there.
And the price tag on it is huge.
It is. But I'll explain a little of that. First of all, Louisville is very fortunate to have not one but two convention centers. So again, there might be a head scratcher. Well, gee, why do we need to renovate this? And it's this reason. We are blessed to have one of the top five largest convention centers in the country at the facility at the fairgrounds, the Kentucky Expo Center. And that is great space. It's 1.2 million square feet of space, and it's great for those big shows. I like to call them the meat and potato shows. Mm-hmm. That you might be familiar with some of them, your listeners. These are the big trucks and power equipment kind of things, like RVIA, the recreational vehicle industry, the livestock show, the Mid-America truck show,
the power equipment.
So these are shows that need a lot of space. They love the outdoor space combined with the indoor space. And they need hotels, of course, but they're not the kinds of shows that, like, the like your trade shows that might have doctors or attorneys or right. nurses. Those kinds of shows don't need that much space, but they need more space than what is at our downtown convention center. So okay. groups like that, we call them higher-rated business, they like to stay in a downtown area with a nice concentrated package, which means they like to stay at really nice four-star hotels. They like to eat well, and they like to be able to walk to the convention center. That's not quite the product we have out at KEC. It's a different product mix. So with the renovation at the Kentucky International Convention Center, we will be able to go after about 25% more of those higher-rated business shows that attract that kind of niche versus what I said, like the meat and potato shows right. out at KEC.
What,
it's an interesting
really,
business
and,
for
and
us.
What is the number they have on the price tag for the renovation down there?
It's, you know, I can't recall.
Like it's like
the,
60-something million. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this is all to drive an economic impact annually of $1.4 billion in tourism.
Okay, and you're also, your office must be involved in hotels, and mm-hmm. it seems like so many hotels are being built downtown
right,
primarily in this
right.
new project. That's going to happen. I mean, is our city, do we need all those hotel rooms?
Definitely. I'll give you a great example. We are hosting another event a lot of people might be familiar with because they see them. That's, you know, it's usually the invisible industry unless you see
yeah.
somebody with a badge. And that is the FFA. These are the teenagers in the blue corduroy jackets.
Right.
We got that business back last year, and we'll have it for the next couple of years. This is 60,000 students coming into the Louisville area for a week-long convention.
Sure.
We have, because of not having enough hotel rooms, we only have 17,000 in the area. We have kids staying as far as Frankfurt one way and Corydon the other way. So, and we're losing the tax revenue from that. That's great for our state, but, you know, that doesn't go into the Louisville tourism coffer, so to speak.
But you can't have, I mean, I guess the other argument mm-hmm. to that is you can't have all these hotel rooms for, like, one or two events a year, right?
Right.
What happens all the rest of the time?
Well, you're setting me up for a great question, which is Louisville has long been known as a great convention city, and that's been sort of our bread and butter in tourism. With some things that have happened in the last 5 to 10 years, we're really evolving a little bit more to also being a leisure tourism draw. We've got great product downtown on Main Street with the Museum Row places that really started with Louisville Slugger Museum and Bat Factory coming into the mix, and now there are over 10 attractions within four walkable blocks in that Main Street area called Museum Row. The newest was the addition of the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience this fall.
Okay.
The bourbon tourism niche has been huge. We are still riding the wave of not just a national bourbon boom, but a global bourbon boom. And this is not just on the production side. This is on the tourism side as well. Several years ago, we launched a campaign called Louisville, the Gateway to Bourbon Country, and we started working with our regional partners, our sister cities of Lexington and Bardstown, even as far as Bowling Green, places that have bourbon attractions in their backyard, because at the time we did not have one. We produced a third of the world's bourbon supply here in Louisville, but didn't have an attraction to take people to. We were basically inviting them to Louisville to spend the night and spend their money, but then go out to the distillery tours, many of them on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail during the day, and then coming back at night to spend the night and eat. And so about 8 years ago, we launched a promotion called the Urban Bourbon Trail that was meant to complement all of that and be a nighttime experience, basically a pub crawl after you do distillery tours during the day, come back and spend your money in Louisville at the top bourbon bars in the country at night. That really took off. A buzz was created, literally, nationally and even internationally. We get people coming from all over the world now to come into Louisville to do a bourbon tourism experience. It's really growing, and we finally caught up a little bit with the product. We think we helped spur that growth a little bit to get Evan Williams to open a visitor attraction within our city limits. And we've got three more on the drawing board. Well, we've got what's been announced in the recent year or two. We've got Angel's Envy, on the drawing board for Main Street. We've got Michter's Artisanal Distillery, also planned for Main Street down near Slugger, and Peerless Distilling, which will probably be the first to open. They're trying to get... Peerless is a craft brand that a family is, the Taylor family is resurrecting. It was an old family brand. They're bringing back that label and opening a craft distillery at roughly 10th and Main. And I think they're going to be open in time for next year's Derby.
Well, there you go. Now there's some news. I'm sure it's been reported, but I didn't know it.
Yeah.
So that's great. Well, that must keep you really busy, Stacey.
It does. I love it. You know, I'm a Louisville native, born and raised. I went up the road to go to the University of Kentucky for 4 years and came back home.
Okay.
And I love
now,
to travel.
Everybody always asks, what high school?
So well, Assumption.
Assumption girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a daughter there now.
Oh, wow.
Son at Trinity.
Oh,
coming full circle. You know, one of the things I tell people in my job, I get to travel the world literally to spread the gospel of Louisville. But I'm always ready to come back home. I love this town.
Yeah, well, in your job, you know, certainly you have to.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
So anyway, well, it's all fun. I hope I continue to see you every place I show up. You seem to be there, so so it's all fun, and I'll go. What do you say you got for me over here?
We got bourbon-flavored chapstick. Wooden flash drives that resemble, like, bourbon barrels. We've got hats. We've got sunscreen.
But you're not serving up the media bourbon.
Right. That opens at 4, I believe.
Oh, really? Okay. Maybe I will stick around.
Yeah. Hope you do.
Okay. All right, Stacey. Yeah. That's thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show. That'll do it.
Great to talk to you.
We'll see you out here again at PGA.
Sounds great.
Interesting to see what is going on downtown with the people planning tourism. It's hard to imagine what it's going to be like in just a few years with all these the new hotels that are going up and the convention center renovation is really going to be something. So glad I got a chance to catch up with Stacey. Talk about that. So that's enough for this week on the Rusty Satellite Show. I will be back next week with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville as my guest on the show. There's a lot of things coming up. The summer is slipping away. That means school and football are starting up again, and a lot of exciting things be happening here in Louisville, Kentucky. So, again, you can catch my stuff on LouisvilleKY.com, on TheRustySatelliteShow.com. My thanks to Dan Vonderheide, our producer, and Passport Health Plans, and Bob Sokoler for helping to sponsor the show. And we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.